Hello. How's everybody doing this fine morning? We're going to open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read verses 15 through 20 in just a moment. Just want to say I'm very happy and proud of you for the choice that you made this morning to come to worship services, to come and praise God. That's an important thing that we do, one of the most important things we can do the whole week. You could have done a lot of other things this morning. You could have chosen to have done different kinds of activities or done nothing at all, stayed in bed, got some sleep. You made a good choice, and I'm thankful for that. I know God is happy about that, and that's really all that matters. We're going to be reading from God's Word right now. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. This is the great leader of God's people, Moses, speaking. He said, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Now these are some of the very last words uttered from the mouth of God's great servant Moses. We look over in the next chapter, chapter 31 and verse 14 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near." How would you like it if God said that to you? The time for you to die is near. Moses knew when he was going to pass from this earth. God himself had told him, and he knew it was almost over. Let me ask you something. If you knew your time was almost up, if you knew you just had a few hours or a few days to live, what would you choose to say to the people that you care the most about in this whole wide world? Hopefully you would tell them things that God wants them to hear, right? Wouldn't you want to do that? To tell them those most important things that they need to hear so that they can be right with God when they have to stand before Him one day? Let me tell you, that's just exactly what Moses did for the nation of Israel. He told them those important things that God wanted them to hear so that they could live long in the land that God was giving to them and they could be prosperous. Let me tell you something about that, about knowing when your time is up. You likely won't know when it's your time to go. And I would suggest to you, because of that, to tell your loved ones the things that they need to hear today. Don't wait until a later date. Don't wait until you think the time is almost over, because you never know when that's coming. You make sure you tell them what they need to hear when you have that opportunity. Now we read in Deuteronomy 31, verses 2 and 3, Moses said this, "I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan." Moses lived to be 120 years old. Who in here would like to live to be 120 years old? All right, we got a couple of takers there, three takers. Now, Moses lived a very long life, a very interesting life, a very prosperous life, productive life. His life was divided into three distinct and equal stages. The first 40 years, he lived in Egypt, and he was raised in Pharaoh's household. The second 40 years, he lived in the land of Midian, shepherding his father's flocks. And that middle 40 years, that was really just preparing him for what was going to happen in his next 40 years, the most important years of his life, gearing him up for the very thing that God had put him on this earth to do. His last 40 years, he guided and instructed Israel under the direction and authority of God to the promised land. From age 80 to 120, he did this. Who says the younger days are the glory days? Why does that have to be? Who says you can't live a very meaningful life and accomplish great things for the Lord in the latter portion of your life, even in the twilight of your life? Whoever does say a thing like that needs to hush, because the golden years can be the glory years as far as God is concerned. If you have faith in God, if you trust in Him, then He can do great things for you. Moses really didn't start living. He didn't really realize his fullest potential till after his retirement age. We got any retirees in the audience today? Got a lot of retirees here today. Well, that's a good thing. Let me tell you something about your work for the Lord, though. You never retire from the Lord's service. You never retire from His employment. As a matter of fact, if you are fortunate enough to live to the point in your life where you can retire from your secular career, that means life's just getting started for you. That means life is just now starting to get interesting. That's when God can really use you. Finally, you've reached the point in your life where you can truly devote your time to the important stuff, to God's things. You can do things with God that you never thought were possible if you just have faith in Him and trust in Him. Listen, He'll equip you to do His will. But God told Moses at the end of his life, it said there in that passage we read, "You shall not cross this Jordan." Now, what a shame that was. Just a terrible shame. Such a godly man that Moses was, and a great leader of God's people. And he led these people for 40 years to get to that promised land, and then he couldn't go in himself. He led a stubborn nation for four decades, teaching them and begging with them to do right. And he prayed for them. He petitioned God on their behalf. And he warned them and he chastised them. And they just pushed him to the limit. And one day he crossed a line, and that kept him from crossing over the Jordan and into the promised land. All because he made one bad decision. One bad choice. You know, sometimes that's all it takes to really make a mess of your life, isn't it? Just one bad decision. He didn't listen to God's word. He struck that rock in anger when Israel was thirsty. And God told him to speak to that rock to bring forth water. And just by striking that rock instead of doing what God told him to do, it made the Lord angry with him, and he missed out on the promised land. And some of the last pieces of advice that Moses gave Israel before he went on to the great heavenly promised land, he told them, he encouraged them to choose well, to make good decisions. And he did this from experience because he made one bad choice that cost him dearly. He said, "I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Now he said, it's all up to you to make the right choice. There are blessings and there are curses. There is life and there is death for you to choose. It's always been that way. That's always the way it's going to be. And the previous generation who lived before you, for some reason, they always chose death over life. Most of their bodies are scattered in the wilderness that they had just been traveling through. And most of them preferred curses over blessings, if you could imagine that. Who wouldn't want to be blessed by God? And he said, "I'm going the way of all mankind, and now I'm setting these choices before you. It's just going to be up to you to make the choices." That's really what life's all about, isn't it? Life is just one huge series of choices, isn't it? One choice after another, after another, after another. And few of these choices that we make are without consequence. Now, some of the consequences are greater than others. Some are lesser, some are greater, some are more serious than others. Some of the choices that we make, the consequences of those can be even deadly. But all choices are there for us to make. Nearly everything that we do, we choose to do. From the moment we wake up each day, even before we wake up in the morning, the night before, we have the choice to set the alarm clock to determine if we're going to wake up at a good, bright, early hour so we can actually get some things accomplished during the day. And when we do wake up, as soon as we hear that screeching messenger, when it startles us out of our sleep, I hate that alarm clock when I hear it at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not my friend. But as soon as it does that, we're faced with choices, aren't we? We can get up, or we can hit the snooze button 1, 2, 3, a dozen times. Or we can just turn that alarm clock off and roll over and just go back to sleep and forget about getting up. But we can get our day off to a blessed or a stressed start by choosing either to get up early, plenty of time to make proper preparations, or to get an extra 10 or 20 or 30 minutes of sleep and then run around like a crazy person the rest of the day trying to catch up for that sleep that we got. I personally have found out the few extra minutes of sleep are not worth it. Personally for me, it's not a good trade-off. It usually causes more problems and not less problems, but I am ashamed to say that sometimes I still choose poorly. And I hit the snooze button a couple of times. And I pay for it more times than not. Then after that, after you get up, that's really when the choices start, right? One after another, just a chain of decisions. To shower or to wash off, to brush or not to brush the teeth, what to wear, how to dress, what to eat for breakfast. Now look, no matter what we choose to pass over, to skip over in the morning ritual, whichever one of those things we choose to skip in order to make up for lost time, we never miss that one, do we? We never forego that first meal. That's very important, isn't it? We want that energy that's going to propel us through the rest of our day's activities. So even then, we're faced with choices, right? Will it be bacon and eggs or pancakes? Will it be Mickey D's or Mrs. Butterworth? Will it be sausage and gravy or banana and yogurt? So many choices, so many things to choose from. We live in a very blessed society that we have these options. But some taste better than others, but then some are better for us than others. But it's always our choice to decide which one we're going to eat. And some daily choices become habits, don't they? They become patterns. They become routines. Less like choices, more like automation. Some habits are good. Some habits are bad. But still, when it's all said and done, it's really just choices that we're making. And the cumulative effect of some of these choices, some of these patterns, some of these habits, they can bring great blessings into our life, into the future, or they can bring great difficulties. And sometimes we grow so accustomed to our choices that they actually become addictions. It feels like the choice makes us instead of us making the choice. We feel powerless and even helpless sometimes to choose otherwise than that choice that made us, don't we? It feels like we can't do anything about certain things in our life. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day at work at Ford Motor Company, where I spend the bulk of my time. And I was walking down the aisle, and he was standing there at a rail, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he said, "Hey, Louie, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He said, "Man," I said, "you've lost some weight, haven't you?" I said, "Yeah, I've shed a few pounds." And he said, "Man," he said, "I seem to find them. I must be finding what you're losing." He said, "You know, I just can't lose weight." And he just got the impression it was an impossible thing for him to do. Well, I stopped, and I turned to him, and I said, "Yes, you can. You can lose weight if you really want to. You can lose weight," I said, "if you eat to live instead of live to eat. If you can do that, if you can change your mindset, you can lose weight." And of course, that conversation effectively was over at that point, right? It pretty much ended any hope of me talking to the fellow after that. Because look, most people don't want to hear, most people don't even want to think about whole life changes. Just changing our mindset, our whole worldview, our paradigm that we've set for ourselves that we're so accustomed to. But nearly everyone can lose weight. Nearly everyone can make healthier choices. There are a relative few people in the world who have health conditions that prohibit them from doing that, but the vast majority can. Most people, when they say, "I can't eat right, I can't lose weight, I can't exercise," most people really are saying, "It's hard. It's difficult." And that is true, but there's a difference between impossibility and difficulty in doing something. There's a big difference between not being able to and not wanting to make the effort. And that's really what it's all about. That's really what it all gets down to, is you got to make the effort to do that. But it will always be worth your effort if you do that, and you'll be blessed greatly for your effort if you do that. You can choose better things in your life. In all areas of life, food is just one example of that. You can choose to eat better foods and substitute for the tastier foods. You can choose to eat smaller portions and substitute for the larger ones. And the first few days and weeks are always the toughest ones to deal with, always the most difficult times to deal with that. And that's true with any kind of changes that we're making to an addictive behavior. That's just the way it works, a habitual behavior. The first few days and weeks are a struggle. But then when you get through that roughest period, then it becomes easier and easier and easier to make good choices. And there are some things in life that we get addicted to that we feel like it's impossible for us to break that addiction. I know some people say, "I cannot quit smoking." But you know what? That's not true. You can quit smoking. Now, once again, there are exceptions to every rule. There are a few helplessly, hopelessly addicted people. I get that. But the vast majority are just addicted. And I've heard people say, loved ones say to me personally, "I cannot quit." But then they had some really serious health problems in their life, and they did just that. They quit. They stopped. cold turkey, just on the spur of the moment, without any kind of assistance. But the difference between the two mindsets is at first they didn't have any motivation, no real motivation to quit. And then afterward, with this poor health condition, now you've got something that really is going to motivate you to do what you need to do. If you're motivated enough, you can do just about anything in this life that you want to do. The key then is to find the proper motivation. And I could just think of lots of good motivation for people to quit smoking or give up any number of bad habits. First of all, good health comes along with that. That should be a good motivation. And length of life is another motivation to do that. And money, hello, bucks, dollars. I mean, how much money do people spend on cigarettes, those who are addicted to that? An extremely expensive habit, just like any other habit. There's a big price tag that goes along with that usually. Drinking soft drinks or alcohol or whatever the case may have been. And you can think about your family. That's good motivation for you to quit destructive behaviors. Think about your children. Think about your wife, your husband, your grandchildren. How important it is for them, for you to be around. So there's tons of motivation out there. I can think of motivation for you to be a healthier person. Usually the same kinds of motivation. We can choose God's blessings in life. And here's the thing, here's the most wonderful thing about that. If we choose, if we opt to make those difficult choices that are better for us, I'm going to promise you this, okay? This is not just something that I think might happen. I'm going to promise you that God will help you. If you're choosing His ways, if you're choosing the right ways, the best things to do in life, God will not leave you to fight on your own and defend for yourself. He will be there with you to help you and see you through. Hear God's words of assurance to Isaiah. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand." God is there for you, and He will help you when you're trying to do godly things. Every single day we have set before us blessings and curses. Life and death. And it's always up to us to make the right choices. Sometimes we literally choose death. Did you know that? When we choose to do destructive things like smoke cigarettes, or do drugs, or drink alcohol, or commit sexual sin, whatever the case may be, we really do choose death. Now, it might not kill us immediately at that moment, on that day, but we are making our life shorter when we do that, with those life-shortening decisions. And these are just a few specific applications of that principle that Moses talked about there in Deuteronomy chapter 30. But that's not specifically what Moses was referring to. You know what he was really referring to there? You know what Moses was really talking about when he said, choose life, choose the blessings over the curses? You know what he's really saying? He's saying, choose God over self. He's saying, choose God's will over your will. He's saying choose righteousness over sin. Choose obedience over rebellion. Choose the Word of God over the world and the pleasures that it offers you. And really it all boils down to this one thing. What God wants from us, you know what He really wants us to choose? He wants us to choose Him. God is really saying choose me over anything that this world might have to offer you. Now, some people say, "I can't" to that, too, you know? You know people like that, "I can't" when it comes to God's things. They say it's impossible for me to do the right thing. "I can't," some people will say, "understand the Bible." I've heard people tell me that personally. I try to study the Bible with them and encourage them to read it on their own. They said, "Look, I just can't understand it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I've sat down and I've read it, and it's just meaningless to me." But listen, you can understand the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." You can understand it. But did you notice what it's required of you to do that? He said, "When you read, you can do it." You really must read it. You really must put the effort into it. You really must put the time into it. That doesn't mean sit down for 5 minutes and figure the whole Bible out. Doesn't work that way. He says, "When you read," he means when you continually read it. When you make the effort to understand it, when you put your heart and soul into doing it, you're going to be able to learn that. Some people are not good readers. You know, to people like that, I suggest go to and listen to as many Bible studies as you can possibly go to and listen to. And I can't think of a better choice you could ever make in your life to go to as many church services as you possibly can. And just soak that Word of God up. And of course, you can get the Bible on CD and on DVD. My wife loves listening to the Word of God on CD and listening to it and watching it on DVD. And some things are difficult to understand in this Word. Make no mistake about it. Some things are tough. The Bible tells us as much. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to understand. It's just the truth. Some things are difficult. But you know what? You can learn them too, if you really want to. That's the key. We have the ability, most of us do, to acquire a knowledge base and a skill set to just about anything that's very, very important to us, things that we're very interested in. So we have to find that motivation to get interested in studying God's Word. And if we really want to learn it, we can. And you know what else you can do? You can remember Bible verses or remember where to find certain things in the Bible. Do you have a hard time doing that? I've heard people tell me that before. I just can't remember the verses like you do. I can't remember where to go to show someone what they need to do to learn a certain thing. And I'll say, well, yeah, that's difficult. But if you really want to, if that's really important to you, more than likely you can learn to do that. If you really apply yourself to it, if you really pay attention to the verses and the words that you're reading and try to make a connection and not just go and read through without paying much attention, then you can remember where those verses are, just according to how important that is to you. So, when you choose God, when you choose His ways, His will, His Word, when you choose to study this Word and to make your greatest effort to learn it and to understand it and to remember it, you know what you're doing then? Then you are choosing life, just like He told you to do. When you do that, then you're choosing the blessing over the curse. What does it mean to choose God? I think Moses explained that to us very well in the passage that we read, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. Let's read that one more time on what it truly means to choose God. I think this will make sense to us. Once again, Moses said, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants." And here's how we choose God. He said there in verse 20, "By loving the Lord your God, and by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days." So, three things there that tell us how we choose God. It starts by loving Him. He says, by loving the Lord your God. Choice number one is to love Him. And I want you to understand something about love. Love is a choice. It just doesn't come automatically. It's not so much an emotion as it is a dedication. It's something that we're committed to. I know people in our culture, we associate love with feelings and emotion and things like that. And that's good. That can be a part of it. But love is a choice. You choose to do a thing like that. Love has everything to do with awareness and appreciation and dedication to someone or something. Now, some of you might remember that old country song that said, "You can't make a heart love somebody." That may be true. You can't make a heart love somebody. But you know what that tells me? That's all the more reason to not let our hearts make the important decisions in our lives for us. Don't do that. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Don't let your heart make your choices for you. The choice that God is talking about here for you is an intellectual choice. That's the way it starts. To love God is an intellectual choice. And then the second part of choosing God, the second choice, it says by obeying His voice. That's how we express our love to God, by obeying Him. John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So if we want to express love toward God after we've chosen to love Him, we must keep His commandments. He won't force any one of us to do that. It has to be a willing act of love. And then the third thing, the third choice, by holding fast to Him. So you've chosen to love Him. You've chosen to obey His Word, and now you choose to hold fast to Him. That is, you choose to cling to Him through thick and thin, through sunshine and rain, no matter what, to the bitter end. If you cling to Him to the bitter end, it's going to be the better end. It's going to be the best end. And then He says, "For this is your life and the length of your days." This is your life. In other words, loving and serving and adhering to God, it doesn't just provide life. It is your life. It's really living. You don't really start living until you do that. Life doesn't begin until you commit yourself to God. When we choose to love and serve God, then we have a reason for living. And when we choose Him and we devote ourselves to Him and we cling to Him, then life will never end. And we just can look forward to an eternity in heaven with Him. So those are your choices set before you today. I think pick up your songbooks. Sing number 613. Give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this morning, to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, to commit your life to Him, to love Him, and to obey Him, and to hold fast to Him. It all starts right there in the waters of baptism. Sometimes the best choices in life are the most difficult ones, aren't they? Have you ever noticed that? It's not always easy to do the right thing, is it? Alas, such is life. That's just the way it is. The road that leads to destruction is what? It's wide. It's broad. That's right. But the road that leads to eternal life is narrow. It's a more difficult one to find, and it's more difficult to walk. It's a lot harder to walk a tightrope than it is to walk down Dixie Highway. And that's just the way life is. Sometimes the best choices are the toughest ones. But listen, they're never too tough. The good choices can be difficult, but they're never too difficult for us to select. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, last passage, right before Moses made those famous statements that we read starting in verse 15. He said this, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you would say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?' But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it." The word of God and the commandments that He has for us to obey, it's not like you have to go to heaven in order to go and get it. You don't have to span sea and cross over deserts, and you just don't have to go to great lengths in order to obtain God's Word and hear it and obey it. It's right there for us. It's right at our fingertips. It's very near to us. It's in our hearts. We've heard it dozens of times. It should be on our lips. We should be telling other people about it. The question is, do we want to obey it? I want you and me today to choose blessings and not curses, and to be able to say, as Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "Choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are you ready to serve the Lord? Are you ready to start serving Him to the best of your ability? Are you ready to get on board with His plan so you can have blessings in life and not curses, so you can go to heaven when you die? We stand ready to help you. Anything we can do this morning to help you, we're ready to do that. So you come up here and talk to me about the things you need help with while we're staying and singing.